My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Max running the ones and twos, so answer your phone call, 1-800-636-1067. Put you on hold, and you can chime in here on A-Wide Radio on a Saturday, September 14th, just after 10 a.m. I'm live and local here until 12 noon, and we like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. The reason I'm working in radio is because my dad let me call in to sports radio shows after Commanders games, as we were season ticket holders for 17 years and saw a lot of bad football at FedEx Field. But one thing that always made my day was getting to call and bitch and complain after a loss. So phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Kevin in Fairfax. Kevin, you're on the Fan.
You're next, Adam. You're next. Hey, I have a question and a concern. One, do you think the offense is strong enough to overcome the deficiencies on defense? There's a suspect at the defensive back, and now with Forbes' injury, there's major concerns there. And two, will the Commander fans come out in force, or will it be a 50-30? You know, will there be more Giant fans vocal? Because that's got to end.
Yeah. Yeah, good questions, man. I appreciate you chiming in. So he wants to know about the fan base at FedEx, or not FedEx anymore. Let's talk about that for a second. I do expect probably 65 to 70% Commanders fans. It's the start of a new era. Everybody wants to see Jayden Daniels for themselves, right? Everybody wants to see an electric running quarterback because it'll remind them of the good times that were the 1 year, 2012, with RG3. So I do expect it to be rocking on Sunday. I know, Max, do you know who they announced as the legend of the game? It was somebody that I recognized, right?
I saw it, but I don't remember. It was Vernon Davis, I think.
Yes, Vernon Davis. Love Vernon Davis. Man, Vernon Davis could still jump over people, I feel like.
Absolutely.
He was fun to watch as a tight end for the Washington Commanders. The other question was, can the offense make up for the defense's issues? Look, the secondary is an issue. Emmanuel Forbes being out now for 4 weeks, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. We'll see. I think that the defense would have gotten torched a lot less if we hit Baker Mayfield when we had him. He was hurried five times. He was knocked down three, and we just could barely even sack him, right? Like, that's what it came down to. One sack, and we had, like, 14 blitzes. So I think he threw for 289 passing yards. I definitely think that we would have held him to, like, 240 if we were able to get him down with some of those sacks. And you would have gotten your defense off the field more on third down, right? That's another thing here, is that the defense gave up 37 points. It looks awful, right? But the Bucs were 9 of 13 on third down. Washington was just 2 of 8. So we're 25%. If we held them to below 50%, I think they score, you know, only, you know, 28, 30 points here. So it makes a big difference getting off the field on third down. And hopefully Washington's offense, look, they should have had 26 points, quite frankly. You can't expect your field goal kicker to miss both in a game. That's why he's gone and a new kicker is in. So Washington should have had 26. I think they will probably hover around 22 to 25 this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. All right, I wanted to grade the coaching staff. All right, we got a lot still to come on A-Wide Radio. I'll give out my keys to victory, break down the game against the Giants and the Commanders' pathway to success, to securing the first home win of the Dan Quinn era. But speaking of Dan Quinn, he got the entire Ashburn syndrome in one game. So, Max, think about this for a second, right? Like, it's just unbelievable how much bad luck coaches have here in the nation's capital. And a lot of it is out of their control. Dan Quinn got all of it in week one. Check this out. An unforeseen start, slow start, right? Dan Quinn did everything all week long to prep to make sure his team was ready to get off to a fast start against the Bucs. The defense gets off the field, only giving up a field goal. The offense throws it backwards 15 yards to start the game. Like, what the hell? Nobody could have predicted that. And then the amount of penalties that Washington had, Dan Quinn can't control. I mean, they had penalties that destroyed drives or kept the defense on the field for far too long. And then the special teams disaster, right? That was everything that could go wrong in Ashburn happening for Dan Quinn in one game in Tampa. And so, in my mind, he has largely no control on those things. It's unfortunate, but I want to know, how does Dan Quinn respond to that bad game? Because you know he's going to be beating himself up. The fact that his debut game for the Commanders and his second chance opportunity to be a head coach was a 37-20 loss, in which his defense gave up more points than Ron Rivera's defense did most of last year. So he was supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. You know he's beating himself up for the fact his defense gave up 37 points. You look at Cliff Kingsbury. Well, number one, Cliff is even saying he called a bad game. Less designed runs. Stop having Jane Daniels put himself in harm's way when he's going to run himself on scramble plays when you call a pass. If you're going to call a running play, use B. Robin Eckler. I think Cliff Kingsbury knows that. I just want to say that. The other thing he's got to do better of, you have to involve Terry McLaurin more early and often. Hey, Cliff Kingsbury, hello? What are you doing, man? Oh, but you're going to line him up on the left side every time so you can run your hurry-up offense. Well, that's fine with me. You threw two screen passes to Luke McCaffrey. How about you throw those to Terry McLaurin? And then he gets the ball in his hands and he can make a play. Logan Paulson, who played tight end for the Commanders for a few years, 10-year vet, talks about this all the time, that fans think the game starts when the kickoff happens. He says, for the players, the game starts when you either get tackled first or you make your first hit, right? You get the ball in your hands, all of a sudden it's game on. Well, Terry McLaurin, it took too long to get him the ball in his hands. You have to target him early and often, and then he'll end up finding himself more open and more involved in the game plan. And so that's the two things that Cliff Kingsbury's got to improve on. And, I mean, Austin Eckler was just, he just looks so explosive. And I'm not sure how long he's going to stay healthy because it feels like he's injury prone. But he had 13 yards a catch. He had 5 yards a run. And yet the ball only touched his hand 6 times in the game. That doesn't make sense to me. Get him more involved for sure. And then I look at Joe Witt Jr. here. And Dan Quinn has let Joe Witt Jr. call the defensive plays. And he had two miscommunications from his players that gave up open passes from Baker Mayfield to his wide receivers. And I felt like Joe Witt Jr.'s defensive scheme took too long to send extra rushers, right? Todd Bowles' first drive of the game was sending blitzes. And it got Jaden Daniels off his mark and maybe got in his head, made him feel like he had to run quicker than he had to. He was seeing ghosts. The pressure got to Jaden Daniels. He ran 16 times. Definitely got to him. Joe Witt Jr.'s pressure took a little too long to get to Baker Mayfield. By the time that happened, he was comfortable in the pocket. He was comfortable, you know, extending plays by moving out of the pocket. And then, like we talked about earlier, third down play calls were just very questionable, right? What the hell was that prevent defense on 3rd and 17? Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu were lined up 17 yards off the line. They threw a screen pass and picked up 20. I feel like every Commanders fan was screaming at their TV during that play, what the hell are you thinking, right? If you get a sack there, they're out of field goal range, and you get the ball back. It's 3rd and 17. You're going to give up 13, 14 yards and be fine with that? No. That game plan was stupid on that play call, and it made Bobby Wagner look terrible. And that absolutely is something that Joe Witt needs to improve on. So, look, it was lousy. If you want me to grade the coaching staff, there was a lot of things that I didn't think Dan Quinn couldn't control, but he gets a C. Cliff Kingsbury gets a D. Joe Witt Jr. gets an F because his defense gave up 37 points and made Baker Mayfield look like he was Tom Brady throwing it to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So I was very upset with the coaching staff in their debut, but I still believe in these guys. I still think Dan Quinn is a great coach. One thing that he's doing that excites me is new captains for each game. New captains for each game. I love that because that's a little bit of new juice and new energy for each game. And they definitely had a slow start week one, right? So you change your captains. Who impressed him in the week of practice? Tyler Biadasz, your new center. Look, we haven't talked about the being low snaps or high snaps. He played well, right? He gets to be captain week two. Frankie Louvu, a lot of people thought that Frankie Louvu didn't show up. I thought he was the best player on the field defensively for a lot of the game. He was really all over the field. He missed some tackles, right? And I think that's because we didn't see enough of him in preseason. But what I thought was really cool was that John Keim and Ben Standing reported that Dan Quinn said that the team went nuts when he named Percy Butler as the captain special teams because the teammates love him, and he makes really good plays. And so I thought that was really cool, and I think that's some new energy, some new juice going into this game that'll help them wipe the slate clean from the 17-point loss to the Bucks week one. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Happy Saturday morning, everybody. Live and local here in the nation's capital just after 10:15 on a Saturday, September 14th. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I'm going to talk about three improvements I want to see from quarterback Jaden Daniels, JD5, from the Tampa Bay game to tomorrow against the New York Giants. I think we all heard from the callers there. Calm down about Jaden. Calm down about Jaden and his development. It's going to take time. You're so right. But I think we can point to one or two or three things we want to see him improve from week to week, because that's what this season's about, developing Jaden Daniels, having him be better at the end of the season than he was at the start of the season, having the team get better from the start of the season to the end of the season, and having some real momentum and building blocks on the roster towards next season, part of the 2.5-year plan that I've come up with to become relevant in the National Football League and compete for the NFC East. So, three improvements we want to see from Jaden Daniels. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Dan Quinn spoke to the media. He was asked about his initial thoughts on Jaden Daniels after the first game.
After watching the film, was your initial assessment of Jaden confirmed, or did you come away with a different feeling of how he played?
Yeah, I think It was confirmed. I think mostly, Nikki, from like the competitor side, I felt that. I think if you'd asked him, there'll probably be a few throws that he would either, you know, like to rip or where the progression may have taken him. But by and large, I felt from the competitor side, that was it. Those were some of the things I saw, even like on some of the runs, like we didn't have a lot of design quarterback runs, but some of the ones that he did, I think if he'd asked him again, he'd probably want to let it rip to one of the guys on some ops. So missed opportunities, those are the hard ones. I think the one to Terry to start the second half and those ones, but by and large, he really felt comfortable in those spaces.
I like how he pointed to the competitor side of Jaden Daniels, right? That's a great point because I think that's part of why he ran so much is that Jaden knows that he can pick up first downs on third down with his legs more times than not. And maybe that's Jaden's a little overconfident in his abilities. And we saw that around the goal line. I felt like he thought, hey, I'm just going to fake it to B-Rob and walk into the end zone. And that's when he got popped, right? He did have two rushing touchdowns. That looks really good there on paper. I don't want him to run into the end zone as much. I want him to throw into the end zone. That's what the quarterback should do, right? Let the running into the end zone be for B-Rob and Austin Ekeler. But he is such a strong competitor, and that was on full display against Tampa Bay. He even on that final drive, he was desperate to put more points on the board and make his team look better. So my three improvements I want to see from Jaden Daniels. Well, number one, it's better on third down, all right? And look, as a team, they were 2 of 8. How do you improve on third down? I think you target Terry McLaurin more. I'm going to point to the one throw, I think it was a 3rd and 5, and he tried to hit Olamide Zaccheaus on a comeback route. It was really good defense by Tampa in their corner. He was blanketed, and Jaden probably shouldn't have even thrown it to that side, right? Well, who do you trust to win in their matchup on third down more? I trust Terry McLaurin. His read should be going to Terry McLaurin on that third down play instead of going to Zaccheaus there. And I think that Jaden will improve on that. That's one thing I want to see from him week two here is identify your playmaker. All right? It's Terry McLaurin way more than it's going to be Olamide Zaccheaus, even though I do think Zaccheaus will have a better game this Sunday. Number two, when you scramble, when you run, get down before the contact. Get down before contact. Do everything you can to keep your helmet on. It's so important. I had a guy tweet me, AWOD. He said the way Jaden tumbles is the exact same way Tua tumbles that led to his concussion last week. That's the concern, right? Is that if he doesn't have a body injury, he could have a head injury when he runs, especially when his helmet's getting popped off. I do think Jaden's a lot bigger than Tua, so I don't think you'll have the neck issue like Tua had with Damar Hamlin, but hopefully not. But that you avoid that if you just avoid contact. And you slide, or you get out of bounds, or you do the Jaden tumble 3 yards before a defender, not right when the defender is in your face. But scramble and get down. That's one thing I want to see Jaden improve on. Let's hear from Dan Quinn talking about the 16 rushing attempts for his starting quarterback.
Yeah, and certainly not all of those are designed quarterback runs.
Right.
So I think that's important to say. But, yeah, I think he'd be the first to say the same thing, Scott, to say this is – you know, I had a chance to go rip it to somebody else. Sometimes you can see a rush or a pattern break and there's open space and you go. But, yeah, for him, create it when it's there. You know, when you get outside the pocket, we'd love to see him remain a passer first. And I think it's going to come with more experience, Scott, honestly. You know, when I can go extend it to throw it, when, hey, this play's over, I'll get rid of it and move on to the next play. So I think you'll see that trajectory continue, Scott, as we go. Certainly 18 carries is not the model, you know, that we're looking for, certainly with Brian and Austin and others here. But at the end of it, I do think we'll continue to grow in that spot, but certainly not by design to have that many.
I really like what Dan Quinn pointed out there in terms of, you know, being able to throw on the run, being able to throw it downfield when you're outside of the pocket. There's two things that I wanted to point to in terms of what Dan Quinn's talking about there. One thing, I thought one of Jaden's best plays of the game was a play in which he, third down, drop back, pump faked it to Zach Ertz. There was a defender right there. If he released it, would have been picked off, maybe returned for a touchdown. He pump fakes and then rushes around the outside to the left and was wide open, was able to pick up the first down with his legs. I love that. On the other hand, there were other plays in which there was a guy in his face and you have to get out of the pocket, yes, But then he just completely missed Luke McCaffrey in the middle of the field. And he completely missed Terry McLaurin getting past his defender down the sidelines. And so when it's a fight or flight mode mentality play with this guy in your face, that's great, right? Fly. Fly, Jaden. Run as fast as you can. Get out of there. But then reestablish your footwork. Look downfield. Because Jaden is so quick that when he makes the first defender miss, that guy's like out of the play for the most part. He will have times where he can do like what Russell Wilson used to do when Russell Wilson was good, which was get out of the pocket, then all of a sudden reestablish your footwork and fire downfield to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. That's the third thing that I want to see from Jaden Daniels improve on from week one to week two, which is one throw down the field on the run. One of these throws where you get out of the pocket, you avoid the rush, but then instead of just picking up 5 or 6 yards with your legs, you pick up a huge chunk play, an explosive 30-yard play by using your legs with your arms. That's what Jaden's going to have to do to be successful in the National Football League. Those are three things that I think are easy improvements that he should be able to make from week one to week two tomorrow against the New York Giants. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. We're going to go behind enemy lines coming up next on A-Wide Radio. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey Sports app. Appreciate everybody making me part of your Saturday morning routine. You're driving around the nation's capital. You tune in to DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Get your boy A-Wad here on a Saturday morning, and I love it because I get to wake up and talk about the team that I care about most, the Washington Commanders. I like to say that a win on Sunday or a loss on Sunday makes or breaks my entire week. You do not want to see me on Monday after a loss before I've had a cup of coffee. I'm an angry person, all right? You definitely want to hang out with me after a win if we go to the bar, because that's when I'll be buying shots, beer, and wings for everybody around, because I just love this team so much, and I'm desperate for a win this Sunday against the New York Giants. So what to expect about out of the 0-1 New York Giants, who have just had Washington's number in the past, but they lost 28-6 to the Vikings and made Sam Darnold look like a Pro Bowler, in which he was 19 of 24 for 208 yards and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones was spectacular on the ground, 94 yards, 6.7 yards per carry, and he got into the end zone. Justin Jefferson, their number one wide receiver, had a great game as well. Daniel Jones on the other side, though, 22 of 42. That's awful. Just 186 yards through the air. The 2 interceptions, one was very costly, an embarrassing pass. 5 times the Vikings took down Daniel Jones for sacks for a total loss of 20 yards. They weren't able to run the ball well. It's Singletary and Eric Gray, but Malik Nabers did have a decent game, and he is their playmaker. If you want to find out more from the New York Giants here, well, to do that, we've got to go behind enemy lines on A-Wad Radio.
All right, A-Wad Army members, it's time to go on a mission, a secret mission, behind enemy lines. We scout out the opponent, break down the competition with intel and reporting from the inside. How is the competition planning to stop the Washington Commanders' offense? As we go behind enemy lines.
So this week I went behind enemy lines with WFAN host Pat Boyle, who covers the Giants, and he told me immediately to watch out for Malik Nabers on Sunday as the explosive playmaker on this Giants roster. As we all know, there's no Saquon Barkley, and boy, was he explosive week one for the Eagles there with 3 touchdowns. So no Saquon Barkley in the backfield. It's now Singletary with the combination of Eric Gray and maybe some Wandale Robinson on end-arounds. That was successful for the Giants week one. Defensively, he mentioned the strength of the defense and the strength of the team for the Giants, supposedly, is their defensive line, right? They add Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. That's their strength. That's the heart of their defense. But they had a terrible first game against the Vikings, only managed to sack Sam Darnold once, and the Vikings were kind of electric offensively with the fact that they were able to put together 312 yards. Yes, they got a lot of points with the turnovers from Daniel Jones, but they made the most of the short field. They ran the ball really effectively, and they just destroyed what was supposed to be the strength of the Giants' defense. Now, the weakness for the Giants, that is their secondary. He said, you got to have time for these deep routes to develop if you want to hit them and see Terry McLaurin get open downfield, which means Washington's offensive line needs to give Jaden more time. But if Jaden has time in the pocket, we should be able to take advantage of a weak secondary for the Giants. I'm expecting Jaden to have much more numbers through the air in terms of his passing yards. I do think he can get over 200, maybe to get to 250 on Sunday against this Giants secondary. I kind of pushed back, and I thought that that this was a chance here for Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll playing for the job on the line. I get it, it's really early in the season, but my argument was, nobody's under more pressure in the National Football League after week one than Daniel Jones, who had the two interceptions and only put up 7 points, and his head coach, Brian Daboll. After the entire offseason, he was kind of looking like a clown in the HBO Hard Knocks TV show. Now, Pat Boyle would tell me that, if anything, he thinks the Giants GM gets fired at the end of the season, but they have to play Daniel Jones because win or lose, you get more losses with Daniel Jones than starting quarterback. Well, you're going to get a higher draft pick to grab a new quarterback. The more wins, the better his contract looks for the GM. So they're forced to play Daniel Jones this season. He would then go on to tell me about the best pass rusher on the New York Giants, which is Kayvon Thibodeau. And I thought it was kind of funny. Thibodeau was interviewed this week, and he did not consider the Commanders a rivalry. He called this an interconference matchup. Is Kayvon Thibodeau an idiot, I ask you? Because, yes, this is a division rivalry game, and Kayvon Thibodeau has been so mid, so average in the NFL. But some reason, he's a Hall of Famer against Washington, right? He's destroyed our game plan the last few years. Same with Daniel Jones. 5-1-1 with a ton of rushing yards, a decent amount of passing yards, and touchdowns against the Washington Commanders. But I think Washington's biggest issue, we all know, against the Giants, yes, it's been Daniel Jones burning us, but the bigger issue has been the offense failing to score more than 20 points. And I think it's going to take 25 to win on Sunday. I kind of expect Daniel Jones to burn us once or twice with his legs, especially after we saw what Baker did extending plays. This Washington defense, it's improved talent-wise on paper. That's absolutely true, right? Like, look at the Madden rating. We improved middle linebacker. We improved the secondary with Jeremy Chinn. We'll see if the corners are better moving forward. Emmanuel Forbes was not week one. But on paper, the talent is improved defensively, but they don't play the games on paper. The team chemistry was awful defensively week one. And the defense was better last year because they had more chemistry than what we saw week one. So it's going to take time for this defense to develop some chemistry because Bobby Wagner's never played with Frankie Louvu. And they've never played together with Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And Dorrance Armstrong's new to this roster. And Cleveland Farrell's new to this roster, right? So, and Mike Sanders still, that was his first NFL game. And believe me, I expected him to be better, right? Chris Godwin's a nightmare of a matchup for a rookie, and he got burned. And so I kind of expect this defense to not give up 37 points again, but to give up 20-plus, 24. And so I do think it's going to take 25 points to win on Sunday. I'm not saying Daniel Jones will destroy us with his legs, but there's going to be once or twice where he's able to escape the pocket and pick up an explosive play on the ground with his legs. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. As we go behind enemy lines, let's hear from WFAN host Pat Boyle talking about Jaden Daniels and what he saw out of the new Washington Commanders starting quarterback.
I'm pretty nervous about Jaden Daniels. I'm nervous about your quarterback because if the kid doesn't learn how to slide, he's going to get himself hurt. He's going to get himself knocked out for the season with a season-ending or injury, because I couldn't tell you how many times I watched him run the football and then dive headfirst or take a hit from guys that are 60 pounds heavier than him. He's got to learn how to slide, man. From a neutral standpoint, I want to watch this kid do well. I want to watch him progress. He's going to end up on the shelf for the rest of the season, and then things are really going to look bleak for the Commanders fan base if he doesn't learn how to slide.
It's definitely a concern. I'm hoping Jaden Daniels can certainly use his legs to burn the Giants' defense and then get down, get out of bounds, and protect himself. But you know, that's what the Giants are worried about. They're worried about Jaden Daniels' legs, rightfully so, after the 16 carries for 88 yards. But as I talked about earlier, I think it's more accurate to point out the 7 scrambles for 77 yards. Let's see that number again repeated this Sunday. The design runs take him out of the playbook. The QB draw, oh my goodness, destroy that play. Cliff Kingsbury, never bring it back. I just don't know why you'd have Jaden with like a tackle as a lead blocker, and all of a sudden there's three guys that are going to jump all over him. No, he can run safely when you call a passing play, and he just simply runs around the outside and picks up the first down. I do not like the designed run plays because his health, his availability is absolutely the most important thing. Should be an interesting game Sunday against the Giants, as they beat us last year twice with backup quarterbacks, right? Tommy Cutlets and Tyrod Taylor. But the real reason Washington lost that game was because they could not put up any points offensively. Wink Martindale had 2 masterclass defensive coordinator games against Washington. He's gone. The Giants replaced him with a new defensive coordinator. How does that change things? How does Washington's new offense coordinator fix the schemes from last year where Sam Howell was getting sacked over and over again by the New York Giants, and they just could not get anything going down the field? Didn't have much going down the field week one, but I've got confidence in Jaden and Cliff Kingsbury to improve for week two tomorrow against the New York Giants. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Still got our keys to victory, our pathway to success, and I'm going to go around the National Football League, pick some winners, and talk about which spreads I like to bet on for week two in the National Football League. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, it's AUDACY. You can take the radio show with you on the road. You can check me out Monday through Friday in Richmond by searching 910 The Fan or AWOD Radio. I'm live and local from 12 to 3, talking all things Commanders and going around the National Football League. And that's what we're going to do right now, is Max is going to cue up some NFL theme music. I just saw a funny quote. Antonio Pierce says the Raiders will defend Mahomes like MJ. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. All right, before we get to the best of week two and my predictions, it's time for Overreaction AWOD here from what we saw week one. Start with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win 13 games this year. Xavier Worthy is going to be a big part of that. Man, was he electric with his speed last Thursday. The Eagles didn't look that great outside of Saquon Barkley. Outside of Saquon Barkley. My take with the Eagles is that they will be great until Saquon Barkley gets hurt. He just never stays healthy, in my mind, in the National Football League. Bucks are really good. I wonder how they're going to be defensively throughout the rest of the season, though. That's the only thing that I can think can hold them back. But, man, Baker is comfortable in that offense, and they've got playmakers. Chris Godwin's gone over 1,000 yards in the last 3 years. He had 83 and a touchdown week one. He'll go over 1,000 again. Steelers, my hot take is that Russell Wilson will not start a game this season. They're not going to go to Russell Wilson when Justin Fields is winning games, and they're going to win a lot of games defensively. He actually might be the better quarterback for this roster because all they need him to do is pick up a few first downs and put the team in field goal range, right? Six field goals they beat the Falcons. Bills, 34-28 over the Cardinals. They are not as good defensively. They lost Poyer and a few other defensive pieces. Josh Allen's going to have to put the cape on all season long. Caleb Williams bailed out by the Bears' defense. We'll see if he's better this week, but it's a very tough matchup for them against the Texans. Are the Patriots legit? No, they're not. But the Bengals are bad. Texans, Colts, 29-27. I think the Colts could be fun to watch this year. Alec Pierce was an awesome wide receiver, and Anthony Richardson was boom or bust. He completed less than 50% of his passes, but he was also the only quarterback to complete 3 passes of 50-plus yards. Boom or bust for the Colts this season. Dolphins, man, it's frustrating because I think Tua's going to have to call it quits. I'm not going to call for him to retire, but I think he needs to have that conversation with his family and friends. The Saints scored 47 points. Derek Carr was really efficient. Rashid Shaheed is legit. That's a home run weapon. Grab him in fantasy if you didn't already. Vikings, man, I'm really interested to see. I talked about it all offseason. I thought the Vikings had a roster that could win games with their new quarterback, but he got injured, right? McCarthy, so it's in comes Sam Darnold. He looked decent. Chargers got the win week one. I'm really intrigued by J.K. Dobbins with the Chargers. If they're able to have a ground game, it's going to make things a lot easier for Justin Herbert. Man, how good was the ground game for the Seahawks with Kenneth Walker? He had 103 yards in the game and had a bunch of catches out of the backfield as well. Cowboys and Dak got a good win. Lions-Rams was the game of the weekend. And then with the Jets, oh my goodness, we have to watch five more primetime games with that loser Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? Let's get to our week two picks here. We'll save Giants-Commanders for later. I've got to give out my keys to victory. Saints-Cowboys. I expect this to be a good game. I already locked it in earlier. The line has changed, but I locked in Saints plus 6.5. Max, what do you think about that one? Saints plus 6.5.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I kind of like that pick. I think it'll be close.
I went Tampa Bay plus 7.5 against Detroit. I think that those two teams are both going to be in the postseason. I see this game being within one score. I stayed away from Colts-Packers. I went to Jaguars money line against the Cleveland Browns. I will not be picking Cleveland anytime soon with that lousy quarterback play. Give me the 49ers minus 5.5 against the Vikings. They had their best game maybe of the season week one. I don't think that continues. Give me Chargers minus 4.5 at the Carolina Panthers. I've been a survivor pool, Max. And I think I'm going to stick with the theme of picking against the Panthers. It worked out 15 times last year. It looked pretty good week one. That's a good matchup on the road for the Chargers to get their second win of the season. Seahawks, money line at the New England Patriots. I just think they're a better team. They're going to win that game. Colts minus 3 against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay starting Malik Willis. Indianapolis faced off against him twice when he was the quarterback of the Titans. He's never thrown over 100 yards in a game. It's going to be tough for the Packers this season without Jordan Love for an extended period. They're going to start the season 0-2. Colts win this game. Colts cover the 3-point spread. I will take Jets minus 3.5 against the Titans. Give me Arizona money line. Arizona Cardinals money line. That's a bit of an upset in my mind, even though it's Cardinals minus 1. That's just because they're at home. I think everyone agrees the Rams are the better team. But I liked what I saw from Kyler Murray extending the play. He ran for 57 yards. He talked about how efficient the quarterback scramble is now in the National Football League. And Marvin Harrison Jr. will get open and get a touchdown. Lock that in on your touchdown bets as well. Chiefs minus 5.5 against the Bengals. I think that's going to be a good game. And I also like the over 48.5 in that one at Arrowhead, expecting a lot of points being scored. But I'll take the champs against Joe Burrow, as they did not look good week one. Pittsburgh minus 2.5 at the Denver Broncos. I'm not a fan of Bo Nix and Sean Payton. I think the defense for the Steelers wins that game. They're going to cause a few turnovers with the rookie quarterback Bo Nix. And like I said, Justin Fields doesn't have to do much, right? He ran for a bunch of yards, threw for 156. Most important thing is he moves the chains on third down and gets his team in field goal range. He'll do that. I like Bears-Texans to be a fun game with a lot of points being scored. Over 45.5. I think Caleb Williams will be much better than he was week one. The game plan was awful. They basically said, you're the next Mahomes, go prove it. And he was sacked twice for a loss of like 29 yards. He'll be better. I think the Texans will win this game, but I'm staying away from the spread. I'm just taking the over 45.5 in that one. Monday Night Football, I like the Eagles, minus 6.5. My absolute lock of the weekend, the Locky Lockerson lock of the week, is Ravens at home over the Raiders. Ravens at home over the Raiders. That's my lock of the weekend as I'm trying to make it to the very end of the season and my Odyssey NFL Survivor pool. Max, what do you think of those bets there? Anything you disagreed with?
You know, you brought up the over in Bears-Texans.
Yeah.
Those defenses are both really good. I kind of like the under in that one. But primetime unders are historically, at least last season, they were pretty good.
Yep, you're so right about that. And part of me taking the overs because I want it to be worth watching, right? I hate betting unders
completely
on primetime games. But I do think the scrambling ability from both quarterbacks is going to lead to more points on the board. Both teams will try to run. I think Bears will give more carries to DeAndre Swift than they did week one. And Mixon was so good in week one, he'll get a ton of carries week two. But at the same time, I just think there's going to be a lot of points scored here because I'm expecting explosive plays from Nico Collins, from my guy DJ Moore. It doesn't look like Roma Dunze will play, which means I think more targets towards DJ Moore. So I like DJ Moore in his over for receptions and yards as well. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. We left out one game on the Sunday slate. That's the New York Giants traveling to Landover, Maryland. The debut game for Jaden Daniels at Northwest Stadium, home of your Washington Commanders. Spread, Washington -1.5 total, over under 43.5. We'll give you our official prediction, our keys to victory, and a Commanders pathway to success coming up next. I want to hear from you, Commanders fans. Can we get the win in week two? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.